She has to crouch down so they can't be. There has to be enough for him to sit. Because
now you're just voguing. I don't know what's happening.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm Ziva.
And today's episode we're doing is New Neighbors. I think this is finally the 21st. I was going to say the 20th, but we
did that last week.
The 21st episode of I Love Lucy. And it aired March 3rd, 1952. So the synopsis here, before I even read it, I love when these episodes have guests, and not just guests that come in and out, but that actually, leave an impact that you remember, because these two characters certainly did that. So after snooping in the new tenant's apartment, Lucy finds herself overhearing the couple talking about murdering her and Ricky, stealing identities, things like that. And she, she goes up there to tell them that they're all going to be murdered by these new people that they're snooping on. And then they realize that that's not what's happening.
Only after they get arrested, right?
Yeah, of course. But and not just arrested for anything. I mean, it's an actual crime. So there was a lot.
They just let them go. Like,
yeah, yeah. It's, you could tell it's not in 2022. Just saying.
Oh no.
So yeah. So I really did enjoy this one. I mean, just because.
I really like this episode. Yeah. I really like. I mean, we'll talk about a few things that I dislike. I find a little, I don't know if unsettling is the right word. But
cringe,
like,
maybe?
Maybe cringe, yeah. And but overall, I very much did enjoy this episode. So should we just jump right into it?
Let's go.
We should say that on this day in history, the day that the episode was filmed, Molly Morin died at 68. She and William Frawley both appeared in the 1939 film Ambush.
Okay.
So just a little tidbit of in this TV day in history. We should do that. Mm-hmm. We should do that.
We should.
This day in history. But okay, so we start out this episode by seeing the girls hanging out the living room window, which this is the first time we've ever seen this window.
Yeah.
And the last time, I think.
I was trying to figure out where, just because, we all know the set so well. I was trying to figure out where this was. At first, I thought it was like the kitchen, where everyone walks in or walks by in the back, but that's not it. So it's supposed to be the living room.
The couch. So it's supposed to be in front of that. So like even past that.
So it's the fourth wall.
We don't see that wall. Yeah, we don't see that wall.
Okay, that makes all the sense. Okay.
And so that's where they're hanging out. So I honestly don't think we ever see that window again.
No, we don't.
So this is only just for this scene. Okay. Would you spy on new neighbors coming in?
Not as obvious.
Blatantly as them.
I don't have binoculars. I wouldn't hang half my body out the window. I mean,
they had pillows. They were set to like stay there.
This was a date. And so I mean, if I have my window, it does show my neighbors a bit,
be like one of those sneaky, like
if I'm sitting here at my
pull
desk,
the blinds over
and I
a
see
bit.
The new neighbors and I see, oh, look at that. They're pulling in. I'll move my head a bit, but I will not open up the window pane too.
Like move your head, take a sip of a mimosa.
Yeah. I mean, of course it depends on where, what your, the living condition or situation is. I mean, how close are you? Is it apartments? Is it a house? I mean, are you driving down the street to park across the street to watch this happen? I mean, what's happening here, but because they really want to bring the point home that they're being nosy. They are half their bodies are hanging out the window.
So listen, I'm trying to think. The fourth wall is the back of the apartment.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Yeah.
Because Lucy like goes over to the piano, that window. She like looks out at it like when Ricky gets a new car. And so you would assume that Ricky would drive, on the street in front of the
But remember, that window that you were just thinking about is when they already had switched with the Bensons, so they had that big window So this one is their very first season. Their very one apartment.
Oh, right, because they don't have that.
They don't have that window there.
They don't
have
that.
That is
so it could technically be the front.
Yeah, that's the fourth wall, and they probably never want to do it again because it's so confusing. But they needed a window.
So the girls are very, as we mentioned, blatantly spying on their neighbors, and this is my first cringe, where Ricky comes in. It's like, I'm hungry. Stop snooping. I'm hungry. I want my breakfast. Dude.
Woman,
you are a full grown adult male. Go make yourself some chicken and rice. You might have some leftover. We haven't done that yet, have we?
No, we have not. So just FYI, she wasn't stereotyping. He actually eats chicken and rice.
Chicken and rice. And he makes a lot of the rice. Yes, so that's why he said you might have some leftover. No, but I don't know. I don't mind cooking for my husband. And I know, again, it's the sign of the times. Like, women are supposed to cook for their husbands, but
what I love is that
one day, like,
that this is what's gotten you upset. Just keep it going for that further down this episode, because there's more.
There's more, and I've written it, I've noted it. So
yeah, so he's kind of like, would you guys stop with the snooping? And, you know, either I don't know if he's trying to find a reason for her to stop snooping because he's not a fan of that, or really he doesn't care that she's snooping, but he's just hungry and he just wants
food. I think
he wants just food.
I think that's really it.
Fred walks in, and then he's also upset that Ethel's, you know, hanging with their new. Well, they have a reason. It's their tenant, so they don't want to seem like the landlords will be keeping an eye on. Yeah,
but then Fred and Ricky have a fun exchange about their wives dying.
Well,
they say curiosity kills the cat, right?
That's Ricky's.
And did you know that there's an ending to that phrase? Like, that's not the whole phrase.
No, I did not.
Curiosity killed the cat, and satisfaction brought it back. So, like, the curiosity killed it, but finding out what it was trying to find out brought it back.
I am today years old. I've never knew that.
Yeah, oh my gosh. The end of that phrase. But anyways, so when Ricky says that, Fred's like, well, we'd never get that much of a break or something like that.
Yeah, so, meaning our wives will never die. So it's
fun. Fun little joke there. Ha 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 ha.
Fred. Just Fred. So they're both upset that the women are hanging out the window looking, and, you know, Ricky says, at least they're not using binoculars, which strikes Lucy's head. That's right, we have them. And,
oh, I forgot.
You know, choking Ethel, because I think they're around her neck.
They're around
Fred's, probably.
Lucy's.
And I just realized they do use binoculars quite a few times throughout the series. I mean, I think there's one when they go to the play, when they fight, and, you know, they got binoculars. But anyway, what I love here is the physical comedy that's involved with looking at something that's not really there. So,
the lamp.
Yeah. So the movers are balancing a lamp, and they're saying, wait, I wouldn't balance it. No, they're professionals. So you know what they're doing. And of course,
and then they're swaying back and forth with the lamp. So we never get to see the lamp actually break, but we do see them. And then later on, we're going to see that lamp in the background.
Already broken.
Yeah. And so I do love when the men are talking. They're acting like little boys, though. The men are talking when Ricky says something about paraphernalia.
Oh, yes. And then there's a Spanish. Yes.
And then he goes, what? And then he says it all in Spanish. And I'm not sure what he says.
Well,
Fred says paraphernalia.
Well, what he says in Spanish is not what he just said. No. What he says in Spanish is dishes. So he says that he was that they're watching them bring in dishes. So because I heard that earlier. So I said, that's not exactly what was said. But, you know. The audience of the time has no clue what just was said.
They're like, okay, good.
Oh, good. He translated it perfectly. And so when he says paraphernalia, oh, you speak Spanish? No. So yeah, there was that happens quite a bit where Ricky will you know, just say something quickly in Spanish and Fred will kind of say it back in English.
Yeah, I think I love, well, I don't understand but I don't understand Spanish. So it's just fun. And then not knowing, and you're right, people don't know. So they're just going to believe that they're saying what you get to, if you don't know the language, you get to just make up whatever he's saying.
You know what I wonder is, you know, Ricky or Desi just says these things in Spanish. Were they ever written out? Because I don't know if these four writers ever knew Spanish. So do they just say something in Spanish? Was this all ad-libbed? You know, it's just curious because he does do that, of course, a lot throughout the series.
Oh, I did want to say they're getting better at not showing that second cushion that Ricky sits on.
Oh, to make himself.
Because you didn't. Yeah, you didn't see it. You did see it a little bit. Mm-hmm. As Lucy walks past him. Mm-hmm. And I think they had to switch it because he was on the opposite side of the couch. Men are against watching until they find out that the woman moving in is very attractive.
Well, yeah, first they see the husband and they say, oh, look, you know, the handsome man, and they're still not listening. And then they say, "Ooh, who's that blonde? How dare you let someone with a figure like that move in?" And so that catches their attention, which is so rude, by the way.
Well, you know, and then because they poo-poo the, like, the man's attractive. They're like, oh, okay, whatever. And then as soon as they find out the woman's attractive, they run over and they
want to see. And then, of course, the gross comment of Fred's like, oh, I think I'm going to do a lot of work in that apartment. Do you need to help her?
If we could join, yeah.
Do you have a card? Yeah. And of course, right. I think it's the union card to be.
In, oh, okay.
Yeah, like a handyman or something. And so it's just. How rude. But they barely come in, and Ethel and Lucy can't wait to run downstairs again to what, perhaps introduce themselves or just watch them again.
But I definitely think they were gonna go introduce themselves and do that thing where they like look around as they're saying hello and like, you know, trying to get a good look at things. But this is where, again,
I knew it.
Ricky tells Lucy she can't go down. He forbids it.
Right.
It's just, I could not imagine my husband telling me I'm not going someplace.
I'm forbidden
to do something. And it's not even like a terrible thing. Like, it's a little bit nosy, but they were just being nosy too. So how can he...
And the thing that I don't appreciate, and maybe this is just me, I like to be a very private person. So Ricky's very comfortable with just like reprimanding and demanding things of Lucy in front of anybody who's around. And, you know, kind of maybe take her aside and go, you know, maybe that's a little rude. Wait till the neighbors get settled in, then go introduce yourself, as opposed to what he did, which is like, you know, make her recite the words that he's saying. And I love she's got her fingers crossed behind her that she's
and he not, knows enough yeah. well enough that like
you think at this makes point her he would just stop because she's just gonna do the opposite of what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, you know anyway. He's gonna yeah. So and I think Fred also say like, okay, don't go down there. And then you know what he does? The next scene Fred's on the phone getting their number, which again is just, oh,
it's so and cringe.
It's so cringe.
Because you know, it's to see the blonde woman. It's like,
oh,
she
yeah.
just moved in. If you were a tenant in this building and you knew that this, call it what it is, old man, planning to come see you without even knowing you, and find a reason to go into your apartment. It's creepy. So he calls the operator to get the O'Brien's number. And right then Ethel catches him on the phone and he's, you know, lies and says he's talking to somebody else. The operator is Lucille Ball. The voice that you hear on the other end is Lucille Ball as the operator. She does that.
Oh, really?
That nasally.
Oh
voice.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
her.
Mm-hmm. Talking to someone else, but you know he's not, and I love Ethel's face when she like picks up the phone and the operator gives her the number and
to the O'Briens.
Which is Murray Hill 59579. But I just love, I don't know. I just love that look. I love that look.
Yeah.
And then the surname of Murray Thompson, which is who Fred pretends he's talking to.
Yeah.
The Thompsons, Mr. Thompson, Murray Thompson was a Deadly League crew member.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably a shout out to him, but we don't ever hear about Mr. Thompson ever again.
Right.
So, speaking of mentions of the apartment, since this is a apartment building, mm-hmm. Are you going to say that mentions the Lewis's yes. apartment? Yeah. Which is the elderly woman. She does the Lucy plays Cupid.
Right.
The one who can't flirt. but her name does come up a bit more. So even though she's not seen again, she still seems a part of the apartment complex.
Right.
Whereas, Mr. Thompson, we don't ever meet and
hear of again. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right.
So then the next scene is, of course, this new couple, the O'Briens, rehearsing their lines from this extremely corny dialogue that's going on.
Oh, it's so bad.
I'm guessing it's some sort of spy play or, you know, he mentions it was for television because he puts it down. He says it's pretty corny dialogue, even for television. Well, it's a living. So it's a television script that they are rehearsing. And so they have these very thick Russian accents, or I'm assuming Russian accents. And it probably, a sign of the times of what's happening in the world. Oh, at that time.
Definitely. It was interesting that Lucy herself was,
then labeled a communist a couple of years later.
Yeah, yes. Later. But before we get farther into it, should we talk about the two stars?
Yes.
Guest stars here. William Henry Rourke. Is that right? Rourke?
Rourke.
Rourke.
Rourke. Wow, we sound like we're barking. Just Rourke.
Oh, no. He was trained at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, and he appeared in with Lucille Ball in Dreamgirls. He made his first television appearance on I Love Lucy, mm-hmm. which is interesting. To be fair, he was in a lot of things. He even returns later in Here's Lucy.
Yes.
In one of my episodes, I just love this episode that he returns in. He plays this judge who's just so mean. He even sent his mom to jail, I think, for a few months for crossing the street or something. Not at the jail. Funny. It was so unimportant why she was put away for that long. And then Barbara Eden actually disclosed after his death that he was unabashedly gay.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know really matters, but apparently he was a very nice man. He was a prince of a man. And so that's good to know.
And then Mrs. O'Brien is KT Stevens. And mm-hmm. she was one of Vivian Vance's best friends
in real life.
Yeah, I just learned of this because, of course, she was in The Voice of the Turtle in Chicago, which is, of course, the play in which Desi Arnaz discovered Vivian Vance. Once he went, she was touted to play Ethel Mertz. So that's pretty fascinating. And what's funny is they never had a scene together in this particular episode, right. Even though they were best friends.
They saw each other, during the shooting, but they never were on stage at the same time.
Yeah, so these two, Vivian and KT Stevens, they met while performing with her husband, Hugh Marlowe, in The Voice of the Turtle in Chicago in 1945. Like I mentioned, this is the play where Desi Arnaz saw Vivian performing at the La Jolla Playhouse in 1951 when he cast her as Ethel Mertz. And Stevens was the daughter of Academy Award nominated director Sam Wood, and made her screen debut in one of her father's films when she was just 2 years old. On Broadway, she was seen as Laura with Marlowe, her husband, in roles made famous by Jean Tierney and Dana Andrews. And her last screen role was in 1994's Corrina Corrina, which was released after her death. But what's funny is, again, they didn't have any scenes together, which is probably either by design or just a funny coincidence.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just a funny coincidence. It was just the way it was written, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe it's her hair. I just think she was so lovely in this episode. She's so beautiful. So beautiful to look at.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. So yes, they do have where you start to kind of just hear their play, but you don't hear all of it. So you hear a little bit and just enough to go, if anyone overhears this, it'll be interesting. But that's as far as it goes, because then, you know, she's like, on one condition, you have to take me to lunch. And so they leave.
Yeah, they stop.
Go to lunch. And of course, almost immediately, Ethel shows up to snoop around.
By the way, that is just rude.
It is rude. It is rude. I love when she says, this is later, but I love when she says to Ricky, she's like, I have a perfect right to be here. And I'm like, do tenants have, guess landlords, I think, but they have to give, you know, like, they have to give notice that they're coming in and then the reason why they're coming in.
Maybe they don't now.
Maybe they didn't at that time.
Oh, that's true. I think maybe the reason is you wouldn't be upset if like your apartment was on fire and they walked in or something, but not just to, you know, what if they came home? She had no idea where they went. What if they just went to the car or something? And Ethel's like opening boxes.
Boldly walks in. Yeah, picking up chairs. This is where we see that, that broken lamp.
Yes.
Well, we actually see it a little earlier while they're unpacking. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is when Lucy comes. She comes pretty quickly after Ethel, and Ethel's like, yeah, you promised. Because she's pretending to hold her to that promise. Like, let's be honest.
Meanwhile, you're snooping through.
Why didn't you just let her come in? And so Lucy's like, I'll just stay out here. But then she can't help herself. She has to go in. So mm-hmm. she gets around it by crawling on her knees.
Because she's technically, she said she can't set foot in the apartment and she does not.
So she didn't put her feet down. But then she did because
she becomes a chair.
Ethel hears, but before that, Ethel hears Ricky. And so Lucy hides. And that's where Ethel has that, you know, I have the perfect right to be here. I love Ricky's face when she says that. He's like, okay.
Well, weirdo. I was looking for Lucy. And of course, throughout the series, there's always a Lucy who. Somebody has to say that. It's just, I think there's one where Fred has said it. Lucy has said it many times. But yeah, she's like, I'm looking for Lucy. Lucy who? Anyway, so yeah, she's trying to, you know, she's freaking out because Lucy's there and she had to run to the closet to hide. Now, we haven't even mentioned when Ricky comes to look for Lucy in the apartment, must he make a commotion in the hallway yelling for her? I mean, does that not annoy the other neighbors? Because it sounds like he's just walking down the hallway yelling, Lucy, Lucy. And it's like, sir, can you not yell? I would be very annoyed if my husband's just walking down the hallway yelling my name, like, damn.
Also, what's that important? Like, was it really that maybe he needed his lunch? So
more food.
More food. So I forgot to mention, I love how the bear has a hat on. when she's crawling in, she like comes face to face with this bear, and I just love how it's there and it has this hat on.
It kind of reminds me of, oh, by the way, it's not a real bear. Well, it is a real bear, but it looks like it's a, what do you call those on the wall? You know, kind of like that episode where she goes to Hollywood and she's got that, is it a bear or a deer or something on the wall of the celebrity's home? Same sort of thing.
Same sort of thing. As Ethel is looking, you know, through the belongings and picking things up and looking for price tags, she holds up a bronze of a man on horseback. She says it's early Pullman. Pullman refers to a railroad sleeping cars that were built and operated by the Pullman Company from 1967 to 1968. And they were often decorated with these inexpensive, like, knickknacks, items, things like that, that a lot of times did end up going home with the travelers, whether or not they should have. They just wandered home.
Ethel leaves after that. And Lucy, I think she's still in the closet.
Right. And she comes out. Right. Well, yeah, she comes out. And not only does she come out, like, she doesn't just head straight for the door. She starts looking around again at things.
You would think it's like dash for the door. No, she's just, I'm going to keep looking. By the way, I love that shirt she's wearing. It looks very much like a softball or baseball sort of tee.
It does. It's very cute. Those half shirts or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very cute. So they come in, the couple, the O'Briens come in, and they're immediately back into character rehearsing their script. Mm-hmm. And of course,
they like come in rehearsing.
Right. The script. Oh man, I made the mistake of not writing down the entire script because it's just so good. I mean, I wrote a few things.
We should have done the whole thing.
Yeah, we should have done the whole thing. But it was so good because, you know, she's scared. She runs into the closet, and they start mentioning about, did you see the one with the big bulging eyes and the big muscles? And
Lucy gets her physical comedy in here,
right? Because she's listening, and she's it's just her face with the audio of the couple, and so the physical comedy comes in. It's so good.
I love how Mrs. O'Brien, as she's saying her lines, this is the first time you hear them repeat herself, because I think they were laughing, the audience was laughing so much, so mm-hmm. she had to restart her line because of what Lucy was doing, and the audience was laughing. Kinda, at like, Lucy, and so she had to wait, let it calm down a little bit, and then restart. Mm-hmm. And then so she decides to hide as a chair. She becomes a chair. Well, and I love,
we should describe what that is, because that sounds very odd, what you just said. She becomes a chair.
She finds a chair cover.
It's like a chair cover
to put on a chair to keep it clean, then you pull it off and wash it. It's what we need with our child.
You must have not grown up in the 80s, because every couch had a plastic covering for that very reason. Floral uh-huh. couches with plastic coverings, and they were pristine afterwards.
Yeah, you know, it worked. You just had to sit uncomfortably on plastic
and make a lot of noise.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. So she puts this, you know, chair cover on, right?
And it's
on her head.
Yes,
is the top of the chair, and then her arms go through the arms of the chair, and so she becomes a chair.
It's funny, because if you imagine what's happening underneath, she's standing out, doing this in video, standing out with her arms like this, and she's sitting in.
Well, do you think they're like,
or like this? Yeah, you're 90, right, like this.
Yeah, so that, because she has to crouch down, so they can't be. There has to be enough for him to sit. Because
now you're just voking. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on.
Oh man. Anyways,
she puts that on and walks her way through the apartment.
They're talking about, or when they kiss, and she with the arm of the
chair.
She's
shy.
I wonder if she could see through that, like if they made a special one, because usually it would be thick enough that you wouldn't be able to really see through. It's meant to be sturdy, I don't know, maybe easier to see through. There's a point where Mr. O'Brien sits on the chair. And
he tries to put the books down.
He keeps falling down.
He's falling.
And so he thinks, well, I should be able to sit on it, since the books can obviously sit on it. That's me being sarcastic. I don't know why he thought, if the books couldn't stay on the chair, why would he be able to?
And this is where you have to suspend what would happen in real life, because of course, if you sit on something, you're sitting on a woman's two thin legs, you'd probably feel that. It doesn't feel like a couch or a chair. So
it moves, because she moves her hand.
Oh, that's right.
Hits her. But
sir, your couch is alive. Your chair is moving.
Yes. And, to the right. So when he's sitting on the chair, you can actually see to the right, they've got like a bunch of paintings. Mm-hmm. And one of them is Red Deer. It's up on the very front, by the German expressionist Franz Marc. It's, you know, just horizontally, but it's interesting that you get to see it. You get to actually see quite a few. We'll talk about the next one. The next one is right outside the O'Brien's apartment. It's
like in the hallway.
It's in the hallway. Yeah, yeah. You see it behind like Ricky, mm-hmm. or when they go out to lunch. It's called Off to Market, and was patented by Mexican artist Diego Rivera. So it, and now I can say there will be more, I think, further on in the episode, but we'll talk about that later. So I was wondering, you know, because we, I wondered if they just made a very small, like, room, because they didn't have to make the whole apartment, and you don't see any other doors. You know, you only see the door you come in the closet, and then that very small area between that, you know.
Yeah, like a hallway.
I wonder if they just made it as small as they could.
Like a box.
Just a little box.
And you put enough furniture in there and it starts to look like an apartment. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's all they needed for that, because that's pretty much all what the scene called for. Right.
That's all the scene called for. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how it didn't occur to Lucy. Mr. O'Brien, when the books kept falling,
right,
he said, "Now my little chicken, is everything in order?" Like 4 times. How did that not occur to Lucy? Like, is that just normal for someone to just repeat himself 4 times in the same way, in this starting in the same place? I mean, it seemed weird. It seemed like that should have been maybe a tip off.
Yeah, but I think she was so engrossed in the idea that this is actually a plot to murder, or actually to blow up the Capitol.
Blow up the Capitol.
that she didn't pick up on things that made it sound like a script. Because, by the way, even if this was real life and they were plotting to blow up the Capitol, it's very cheesy. So you would think something would trigger, but this is television. We're supposed to not think that way.
They're not supposed to. Oh, I did want to say that, that, you know, they say this pretty corny dialogue, even for television, but then later someone says they're rehearsing for a play, which I just feel like is a continuity error, because a play wouldn't be on television.
Right. So, yeah. And
I think the police officer says it was a play when he clears it all up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And because he says it's he's getting paid for it, so it should have been a television thing. So then, of course, she freaks out. She somehow is able to leave the apartment as the chair and go back to her apartment. Now, here's the thing. I know that I think this is one of the things that bother you the most, the way they don't believe Lucy when, you know, something hysterical is happening, something traumatic is happening, and that's what happens here. She runs into her apartment, and you got the three of them back at the apartment, and she's freaking out. You know, these people are plotting to kill us, take over our identities, and blow up the Capitol. So,
right.
And of course, it's like, calm down. The woman is hysterical. Like, you know,
go lay down.
Go have a cup of milk or something. I don't know. You haven't mentioned milk in a little bit there, Zima.
I was worried people were getting annoyed.
Well, we brought it back.
You brought it back. Yeah. Hey.
Give people what they want or don't want. Whatever. Yeah. And so, yeah, they're like, calm down. Ethel's believing it, but the two
a
men,
little bit,
you know, are not. They're like, okay, you're a little cuckoo. And it's like, of course, instead of believing right away or seeing what's going on, Ricky is more upset that he disobeyed, that she disobeyed and disobeyed, went.
Yeah.
And snooped.
How dare she? Mm-hmm. I think, so I will say this, and I know it's going to be jumping ahead, but I think what's, for me, what I find problematic in this episode about that whole thing is that, yes, they don't believe her, right? They won't believe her. Mm-hmm. But then once the boys hear it, automatically they're all like, okay, yep. And Lucy's like, I literally just said that, right?
It's mansplaining.
And as soon as, right. But then when they all get in trouble, who do they blame?
Of course, Lucy.
Yeah, but they didn't believe her.
Yeah.
They weren't going to do anything until the men came and said the same thing. So blame all of them, at least, you know, it was a group effort, you know, but everything gets pinned on Lucy. And I just don't feel like that's fair. Like, y'all messed up. Y'all royally screwed up. Mm-hmm. So, but okay, so we talked about, so that the men go away.
I think they go check the furnace or something Mr. Thompson, and they, you know, Ricky joins.
Because he ended up having to do something, right? For Mr. Thompson.
And so Ricky and Fred go and do that while Ethel and Lucy stay in the apartment, and Lucy just, she has this absolutely concerned look on her face. It's genuine.
She believes it. She's really scared. What she's saying, right?
So she wants to call the cops to let them know that these neighbors that they've been, you know, by the way, the explanation she gives of how she finds out is just hysterical, because it sounds like she's loony, but
it does. I do like when Lucy says, because she's, you know, saying something to Ethel, and she's like, cross my heart and hope to, oh, she doesn't want to say die. But yeah, you said that it does sound like a crazy person. I love when he says the officer's name, and then, you know, what can I do for you? And something like that. And all she says is help.
What's the address, please?
The most dead tone voice like the whole time, which I just find really funny. The sergeant who played Sergeant Morton, who we were just talking about, mm-hmm. and comes in later, we see him more when he comes to the house, was David Alan Curtis Jenkins. And he also studied at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Like Mr. O'Brien.
With Mr. O'Brien, yep. Mm-hmm. He made a career of playing policemen and tough guys in films throughout the 30s and 40s, including Five Came Back with Lucille Ball. Man, so many movies that we have to watch with Lucille Ball. And this guys, is why we're only on episode 21. This is the first of three appearances for I Love Lucy. He returns in Ricky and Fred Are TV Fans.
I love that. Where he calls her Pickpocket Pearl.
Yes, episode 30. And then Too Many Crooks, season 4, episode 23.
Yeah.
The surname Morton was used by Richard Crina, Arthur Morton. It was a previous episode in The Young Fans, which was the one before, mm-hmm. actually. And then we talked about this, that 10 years later, Lucille Ball would be a Morton. Because of Mary. So Morton came up in this last episode. So it's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. They're foreshadowing.
Yes.
but yeah, so.
So like we mentioned, the minute she's on the phone, Lucy is calling the police officer, and Sergeant Morton is like, what you're saying sounds loony. Yeah. Tell me what happens.
And she says, she's been nipping at the cherry.
Have you been nipping at the cooking cherry? Which I heard a couple of times again in I Love Lucy, which of course is meaning, are you drunk? What's happening here?
Well, yeah, I think that's a nice way of asking women if they've been drinking, because they're not supposed to be, right? So
right. And the cooking cherry, because they're always in the kitchen. So it's just where the drinking would happen.
They would be drinking, right?
And so she's like, no, you don't believe me. I was snooping at the apartment. And she's like, I left because I heard them say that.
Yeah.
How did you get out of the apartment? I pretended to be a chair. Now I could see why that sounds a little loony, but you still got to check out what's happening with this loony person.
Does, but he doesn't say he's going to come by, right? He
hangs up.
He just hangs up. So there's a little bit there. But after that, the men come back.
Yeah, Fred and Ricky.
And I just have to say that I looked at them and I was like, all right, I've got problems. They have like grease marks in the exact same spot. Like a crew member came by and was like, grease, 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 grease. And they've got it in the same, on the same side of their face, and virtually the same.
Oh, it wouldn't have happened like that. Yeah,
I see. Like, same. No, you have the exact same grease marks on your face from, you know, working on the furnace. And to think that you only get it on your face and nowhere else, like, did you fix the furnace face first? Like, I don't.
Can you do that again?
No.
Ziva just made a movement. That's just funny. You'll see it in the video.
You'll see it in the video. But it was weird.
So now they're hysterical. And of course, it makes more sense because the men are freaking out. Yeah. And they're like, choose right all this time. They're planning to take our identities and blow up the Capitol, which, again, it's during the time where it was happening was, I think it was 19, what were the years during the Cold War, when they were, you know, a lot of Soviet propaganda was happening at the time. So hearing blowing up the Capitol wasn't something unusual.
47 to 1989.
1989. Okay. And so they come in and say she was right. We overheard them through the furnace. You know, go get your guns. Now everyone's got guns, by the way. Everyone has guns, rifles, just at the ready.
Right. Well, I think there was a bit of a continuity error again.
There was. Yes. A
mentioning error. Yeah. Because Ricky says he's got a shotgun. Mm-hmm. Fred says he's got two guns. And then in the next scene, every single person in that room has a gun. So Lucy, rifle. Ethel, a rifle. Yeah. And a shotgun. Shotguns. So, like, what? First of all, why? You're in a city. Like, maybe one. I could see maybe Ricky and Fred both having one, maybe, but like, why are there four or three? Whatever.
They've got their helmets ready. Although I didn't quite look if it were actually helmets or did they just grab some of their pot and pans.
Like a metal plate and one was a pot. So Ethel has like a plate. Lucy has a pot. Fred has a catcher's mask on for baseball. And what's his face? Ricky has like a hunting, like a big game hunting hat on, or like something you'd think, like you see him go on safari. I was like, what is he wearing?
And
that's
course,
not gonna protect you at all.
I asked myself, you know, since they're really panicking about being attacked or whatever, and so they needed these guns, why did they not warn the other neighbors? But then I realized because they specifically said the redheaded one. And so they assumed it was just for them. The killing was just for them. And so these are not, just FYI, the four people you want protecting you under any circumstances.
No,
because
they're so jittery. They hear the phone ring and they shoot into the ceiling. I believe that's the first one. And before we get to the second shooting, which happens quite soon after, from the angle that they're at, we almost never see this angle. I don't think we see this angle ever again.
Yes.
It's a very rare angle.
Yeah.
We get a glimpse of George Bracuse, still alive with a jug and lemons. It's an artwork. It was on their wall. Okay. It was like, jug and lemons. What?
Is there another cast member I was not aware of?
And we've got another thing, milk and a jug with lemons.
What?
Use your imagination, guys.
I will not.
I will not.
I will not. This will go haywire. Okay, so
George Bracuse produced, hand-signed lithographs of the print. And so this could be one of them. But he worked closely with Picasso to develop the Cubist style of painting. So it's very interesting. And that is on the wall in their apartment.
Three things of artwork
in this episode. Yeah, that is different. So this, we get to see the next shooting, which is when Sergeant Morton rings the doorbell and Lucy's like, okay, don't shoot until you see the white, until we really need to. And of course, they all shoot at him again.
Through the door.
We actually do see a glimpse of another piece of artwork outside of the apartment, like right outside the apartment door,
right behind the cop.
I don't have any information on that. It's just a horse and a man or something.
I feel like the prop department during this time just went
crazy
and just sprinkled art all over the place, because we never see it again.
Artwork ever again.
By the way, this would not happen in real life. You have someone standing at the door and you can see it's a very thin door. And you have four, what looks like high powered rifles shooting at you.
How did he not die?
A very murderous looking scene, a very bloody scene could have happened. But all that happened was a couple of holes through his, you know, police hat. And by the way, is it called a police hat? Because I just read that up.
Hat?
Cap.
The hat.
And he doesn't get hit miraculously, but there's a big hole, a perfect hole in the door, and they're all arrested for that. Because FYI, that is a crime. You can't just shoot through your door.
But of course, you know, we've got to go by TV and sitcom logic, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as he finds out it was just, they were just actors and it was a big mistake, he just lets them all go. Which, no, you'd still have a, probably at least a fine, if not, I mean, yeah, all four of them opened fire on a police officer. So I don't.
It's so absurd.
So, and
try that in 2022 and let me know if they just let you go, because no, it would not occur that way. So they get arrested, and now the next scene is the, you know, behind bars, and he's explaining what you were listening to was a, like you said, the continuity problem here, but saying that it was a play, but it was a TV script. And of course they want out because A, you got the creepy tenant landlords, both of them, one's going through my stuff, the other one wants to come look at my stuff. What?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then you have the other two who are, you know, armed and dangerous, because you get the redheaded who just misunderstood everything. So they no longer want to live there. And so they want Lucy to, because she made a mistake, pay every month until they can rent it out. By the way, if you get a bit of information like that, don't just go on a person's tip, you know, kind of a find out if that's really what's happening.
Right. But like, and like I said, it wasn't all just Lucy's fault.
Yeah.
It was all of their faults. And then when Ricky finds out he's on the front page of the paper, orchestra leader jailed in shooting spree. Yeah, band leader Ricky Ricardo of the Tropicana nightclub was jailed last night. And it goes on. They like actually wrote a bit of a column there for them about this. And I mean, it is interesting that he's the only one mentioned, even though there was four people.
Probably because he has a more notable name. He's supposed to be the celebrity in
he's this, the band leader.
The band yeah. leader. And so, but yeah.
But
so,
at this point, then Ricky, what does he say?
What does he say?
He says something in Spanish, and you know, with the
yes, thing about, I wrote this down.
Throat, it really looked like he was saying, I was gonna cut your throat.
It was, well, I want to say it was worse than that, but it's actually almost that exact thing. I did write this down. He said when they get home, he's going to cut her head in two.
And he goes back into the cell and asks them to lock it,
because it's safer behind bars than going home with her upset husband.
Listen, okay, this is where we're gonna step on a little soapbox here.
Let's step on it.
And we're gonna say, I understand this is a comedy. I understand this is supposed to come off as funny. Mm-hmm. In this day and age, it comes off not funny at all.
Yeah.
The fact that she would rather stay in jail than go home. I mean, the fact that he said that, I mean, and even though she doesn't understand Spanish, he said those words, first of all.
Yeah, he did.
He spoke them.
I did.
And then second of all, mm-hmm, he made the sign,
which is like
neck, which yeah, is pretty universal of like, I'm gonna kill you, mm-hmm, cut your throat or something. Yeah, it's just super not okay. I didn't like that. I've never liked that, actually. But overall, I like the episode.
Yeah, it's like you said, a lot of those things, like we all have said in jest, oh my God, he'll kill me if he finds out I ordered 10 boxes of whatever, something very, very expensive. But
yeah, but usually they don't say, I'm going to cut your head in two.
That's then after that's that, right? Literally word for word what he said, I'm going to cut your head in two. And you know, it's kind of like one of those things that you don't pick up. I don't know if it's the age thing, if it's because we're in 2022, or, you know, because throughout the series, there's a lot of quote unquote threat of harm, and she's always afraid to go back to her husband when she messes up, not because he's going to, like, you know, give her a hard time, which is understandable, but because there's like a threat of physical violence yeah, if she does something. It's like, you know, I mean, we spoke about the spanking in a few episodes earlier, and it's all cringe, but
yeah,
sign of the times. Maybe back then it was hilarious, and beating your wife is funny.
That's our fake laugh, guys. Yeah, that'll just be my new fake laugh. Anyways. But so that's the end of the episode. I do want to say that this isn't the only time that the Ricardos and the Murchas have trouble with their neighbors. We see it again. Not the same trouble, but definitely they get in trouble with Sam and Nancy from Texas.
Yes.
And
the oil wells.
Yeah. And we'll get into that. But then they also have trouble with their neighbors in Connecticut.
The Ramseys.
Yes.
And he pushed him into a rose bush.
Lucy gets chummy with the neighbors. So lots of neighbor stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we also get to see Lucy get attacked by a chair. So someone in a chair costume and Lucy and the Monsters.
And here's Lucy.
The Lucy show. Yeah, she's in a haunted house and she sits in a living Morris chair. So there's an actor inside the costume just like she was. And then there's lastly this like last tidbit of information I have, at least the Polish remake also, which we say the name every time we break it, so it's just I Love Clara. They have a episode as well where the new tenants, a married couple of actors, move into the Nowak tenant house. Clara overhears as they rehearse a scene from the movie. She takes an excerpt of dialogue from a crime movie as an actual conversation, is convinced the new neighbors are gangster couples. So the same. It's like the same thing.
Yeah.
That's all I really have to say about this episode.
Yeah, it
was a good episode. I do like it. I like the guest stars that come into it a lot. I think it's really cool that Vivian Vance was
friends with the guest star. I
can't remember her name.
Much like Katie Stevens.
Yeah.
Much like later on in the Hollywood episode, she brings her husband on, Philip Ober, to be the agent. Just saying, it's nice they're all, you know.
The one that abused her.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause you're like, oh, nice thought. Wait, no.
I'm not laughing at the abuse. I'm just laughing at the way this took a turn.
Oh, yeah. That one.
The way this just immediately took a turn. So I just want to make sure. Clear.
Oh, yeah. That one.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say it was romantic. I'm just saying it was nice that
they brought on. Yes. Okay.
Please rate and review our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Audible, all the places. Having a Ball Pod. gmail.com. Having a Ball Pod on Instagram. Having a Ball Podcast on YouTube. I got to get better about uploading videos, but we will keep doing that because we did a little voguing thing earlier and I want all you guys to see how Ziva just goes into dance. So thank you guys.
Describes going face first into fixing up her furnace.
If nothing else, it's to watch Ziva go face first into a furnace. Can you do that again?
All right, guys. No, I've not done it twice.
Bye, guys.
All right, bye. Thank you for listening.